Today we continue our journey into looking at the life of Jeremiah and looking at what a mentor he was or can be to each of us in different ways. So we were singing, "Lord, listen to your children praying." Isn't it amazing that God is so big and God is so great that God can hear the words and the thoughts of each of our hearts all at the same time, but at the same time hear those hearts of people all around the world as we worship God. Jeremiah knew what it meant to really worship in those difficult moments of life. Some days worshiping God wasn't really easy, especially as he struggled with the things that he was being asked to do, and the things that God was showing him about what the future held, and the places that he was calling to proclaim them. He knew it was going to be a difficult road. Last week we talked about the importance of names and the importance of naming and all that's wrapped up in that, and how all of history is recorded in names in all kinds of different ways. And today we remember that God knew Jeremiah's name very well. He called him. And we're going to look a little bit at why and a little bit at how Jeremiah responded. So I want to just invite you to listen again to these words from Jeremiah. A couple of them we did here last week, but I'm going to read a little bit farther this week. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.' 'Ah, sovereign Lord,' I said, 'I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you, and don't be afraid of them. For I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and he said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.' Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' 'I see the branch of an almond tree,' I replied. And the Lord said to me, 'You've seen correctly, for I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled.' The word of the Lord came to me again. 'What do you see?' 'I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north,' I answered. The Lord said to me, 'From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come. They're going to set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They'll come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I'll pronounce my judgments on people because of their wickedness in forsaking me and burning incense to other gods and worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up. Say to them whatever I command you. And do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They'll fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord." God begins by again, as we looked last week, comforting Jeremiah. So, you know, before you were born, before you came out into the world, before anybody looked into your eyes, I was there while you were being shaped in the womb. And it was there that you were set apart. It was there that God knew all that was coming ahead for His people, for Jeremiah. And yet God continued to be at work in Jeremiah's life. And now he comes to this point where Jeremiah hears God calling him. Calling him to be a prophet, not to a small community, not to a family, not to a particular leader, but a prophet to the nations, not only around the world, but in all times and in all places. Jeremiah certainly wasn't the first person to ever be called by God to do something that seemed impossible. Who are some of the other people that come to mind that we hear about in the Bible that we've read about in the Scriptures, that we've studied together even over the last couple years, that were called by God in a very dramatic way. And this wasn't, and again, just before while you're thinking about that question, one thing we heard about three times through there was the word of the Lord came to me. It came to Jeremiah. When translating from Hebrew into English, sometimes the translators have to work at finding a word that's going to help it to make sense to us today in the way we talk. If you were to actually translate that word for word from Hebrew, it would say the word of the Lord happened to Jeremiah. It happened to him. God didn't send him a text message. He didn't send him an email. He didn't send a postcard. He didn't send smoke signals. It was a very personal and a dramatic encounter in Jeremiah's life. It changed the way he was going to live his life. Who were some of the other folks that God happened to like that? Zacchaeus, sure, yeah. What's that? No, certainly. You want me to do what? Samuel. Saul. Changed a whole lot more than his name. The way he lived, looked at everything he'd ever believed was turned upside down. Others. Who's that? Mary, absolutely. What? I don't think so, God. His disciples, one by one, each one of them had a different encounter. Isaiah, Moses, Jonah. Every one of them called in a dramatic yet different way. But what do they have in common? I'll give you a hint. One thing that they have in common that I'm looking for and thinking of myself this morning is the way they responded. What was the first thing that they did? Yeah. Why me? Are you nuts, God? I'm only a child. You can't send me out to do this. Nobody's going to listen to me. And certainly God's call in people's lives did not end in the Scriptures. While these are the canons that have been officially handed down through the ages, and they bring God's life word, they bring God's work in history alive in a special way, it doesn't end by saying the end. God's continued to be at work all down through the ages and still is today, calling people out. Now the call to Jeremiah was to be a prophet. What does it mean to be a prophet? Well, certainly we see that the future wasn't going to be easy. He wasn't going to be able to quietly sit in the back corner. Peterson kind of puts it this way, reading from his book, Run with the Horses. The job Jeremiah refused was to be a prophet. There are two interlaced convictions that characterize a prophet. The first conviction is that God is personal, alive, and active. The second conviction is what is going on right now in this world at this time in history is absolutely critical. A prophet is obsessed with God, and a prophet is immersed in the now. God is as real to a prophet as his next door neighbor. And his next door neighbor is a vortex in which God's purposes are being worked out. The work of the prophet is to call people to live well, to live rightly, to be human. But it is more than a call to say something. It is a call to live out the message. You may remember Jesus teaching his disciples about confronting their neighbors about things going on in their lives. And he said, you need to be careful when you're doing that. You need to be careful that you take before you try to take the splinter out of their eye, you take the log out of your own. The life of a prophet involves searching deep in one's own heart, their convictions and the things going around them, in order to really recognize what God is doing. It's not a call to predict the future, but it's a call to live in the moment. Jeremiah was being shown these powerful images of how difficult times in his nation were going to be, and all the disasters that were going to come. But he was called to live his life grounded in the reality, rooted in the reality that God is here for the here and now. Now, certainly everyone in history has not been called to be a prophet. But yet, we're called to recognize the prophets among us and to see which ones are the real prophets. See which messages are rooted in a truth that comes from God rather than in the fear that surrounds us every day. Certainly, one could say that if you were to look to a prophet as somebody who predicts the future and tells you what's going to happen. Certainly, our media fills our lives with prophets every day. But the things that are being said and the things that are being spoken aren't grounded and rooted in truth that comes from God. They're rooted in fear. We live in a world that's constantly not only threatened, but threatened to be turned upside down, but is being turned upside down. We meet people in our lives, we experience them in our own lives every day through the illnesses of people, the plagues that come, through the attacks that happen. Now, here they were going to be coming from different countries outside of Israel. Certainly we know what it means to be attacked and the fear that can come with that. But it's God who calls us to stand together and recognize the voices that want to leave us grounded in the fact that God is here with us now. That God will not leave us orphaned. That God won't, even though the world doesn't always make sense, that God won't leave us alone to figure it out all by ourselves. Today on World Communion Sunday, we remember that we gather with people all around the world that are dealing with all kinds of tragedies, that are dealing with all kinds of wonderful things in their life, that are dealing with all the roller coasters of emotions that come with life, that are dealing and wrestling with all the questions about life that every one of us wrestles with. And that's God who calls us to stand together in prayer and in worship. And today on World Communion Sunday, we come together to celebrate the gift of Holy Communion. A gift that's really all about remembering. But remembering not in a way that we remember just what God did thousands of years ago, but in a way that we remember that God calls us to remember He's always at work with us. When Jesus said that, called the disciples to remember God's grace through the gift of Holy Communion, it was for a reason. It was so they could recognize them, so that we could recognize God working among us each and every day. And to realize that God promises to always be with us on the road that lies ahead. Down through the ages, as we've looked at through the life of Jeremiah, God had been speaking out to people. Ever since sin entered the picture and people were separated from God, God began to send different people in different times and different places to invite people to turn back to God. To know that God is faithful and God is always loving and caring and willing to minister in ways that, and even in the midst of tragedy, that we don't always make sense of. And then we come to that time when God calls Jesus to come forward. And Jesus freely lays down His life. He's born out into the world. Not even room for the inn. No crib for His head. We sing all kinds of songs about that. And God invites people to recognize Jesus born in an unsuspecting time, an unsuspecting place. He becomes flesh and lives among us. Lives among the people. He teaches, He preaches, He heals, He cares for people. He gathers with His friends and He gathers with others around the campfire. And they laugh and they cry together. They celebrate and worship and celebrate their traditions in all kinds of different ways. He loves people of all ages and cares for people of all ages, welcomes them to the table to share in communion, to share in relationship. And even as Jesus gets ready to lay His life down again, at the cross. Even while he wrestles with a trial that lies ahead. Even when he wrestles with betrayal of his closest friends. Even as his closest friends gathered around the Passover meal, a holy meal instituted by God, they sit there arguing about who's the most important and who's got the best ideas in life. It's there in the midst of that absolute chaos of life that Jesus celebrates the Passover meal. Something that they had done times before. But this time, in the midst of that tradition, he does something new. And so we gather here to remember that night before Jesus would give his life up, when he'd be there in the upper room with all of his friends, when he would take the bread and he'd bless that bread just like he had so many times before, and now he would break that bread. He'd say, "This is my body. This is my life, which is broken, which is given for you. Take this in remembrance of me." And so we come to remember the gift of life that God gives not only each and every one of us, but brothers and sisters in the family of God all around the world that we've never met. And then that meal continued, and the chaos continued. And Jesus came to that point where he would remember God's covenant, God's faithfulness. But this time, he would say, "This is the blood of the new covenant." After he gave thanks for that fruit of the vine, he'd say, "This is the blood of the new covenant. It's my blood. It's my life. And it's poured out for you and for many. For the forgiveness of sins." Jesus knew the need for forgiveness in all of our lives. He knew the forgiveness, the need for forgiveness in the lives of people in all times and all places. And it's His love that we celebrate that's poured out today. That washes away those things that separate us from God, separates us from one another, brings healing and wholeness, hope and new life. So we join our hearts together now and give thanks to God in prayer for the gift of Holy Communion. Lord, thank You for gathering us in. Thank You for the many places that You gather us from and that we come together to worship You. We remember that we're not alone, but we gather with those around the world. Those that are in churches that are bigger than this one. Those that are in churches that are smaller than this one. Those that are gathered in huts. Those that are gathered out under the stars. Out under the trees. We come together, remembering Your one love that comes to make us new, to make us whole, to give us life each and every day. As we gather in this place today, we pray that You'd pour out Your Holy Spirit and make us one with You. Take away all those things that keep us away from You, God, so that we can come to You in prayer, so that we can come to You in Your Word, so that we can enjoy Your presence in our life. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice. Let them be holy, Lord. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us and let us be holy as well. Let us be the people that You've called us to be, that You've created us to be, people willing to step out in faith and to care for others in the midst of life. Thank You for Your love, Lord, that has been poured out in all times and in all places. And we pray that You would just continue to pour that love into our lives until we gather with You in person one day in ways that we haven't even experienced You yet. Celebrate Your grace in yet a new way. So, Lord, come and be among us now. Come and make us one in heart with You as we ask all of this and so much more in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And so the communion table is open to all people and to all ages. And all are welcome to come and to share in God's gift of grace here and now. Robin, would you come and help me? I want to invite this side over here to come first, and then our youth that have come back and are joined us to follow this section. Again, just come down through and make your way back out. And then the middle section, again, coming down this aisle, across and back out. And then finally, the section here, coming across the back, down and back out, back to your seats again. And so we'll just kind of work that as the music plays. Reminder, we're celebrating communion today by intention. As you come forward, we tear off a piece of that bread, remembering that Jesus is the bread of life and gives us life each and every day. And then we dip it into the cup, reminding us of God's forgiveness that's available to us and needed by us and that we need each and every day. So come and celebrate the gift of God's grace.